this week in the journal Current Biology, it was reported a study that too much artificial light at the wrong time can change your sleep patterns and make you groggy in the morning. Evan Chinoy, a grad student in integrative physiology at the University of Colorado Boulder, who does most of his work in the sleep and chronobiology lab, joins us now by phone. Hi, Evan.
Hi, Ann. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
We're curious, what's it like in Boulder right now?
Right now, it's a slightly overcast, but it's beautiful because we can always see the mountains, so nothing to complain about here.
Nice. Well, first of all, please tell us about the Sleep and Chronobiology Lab. What is chronobiology?
Chronobiology is a pretty funny term, and most people, even within the biological field, haven't actually, this isn't a pretty common thing to study. But I think generally, chronobiology can be defined as the study of internal biological timing mechanisms, which are also referred to as body cycles or body clocks. These timing mechanisms and cycles within our bodies and our brains actually have some very important roles in regulating our physiology and our behavior. And most, if not all, organisms on this planet have clock-like mechanisms. It's important that humans, or any species for that matter, have these internal clocks so that we can synchronize the timing of different biological processes and anticipate changes in our environment. That way we can effectively and efficiently utilize our resources and thrive in these environments.
Mm-hmm. So give us some specific examples of what you study in that lab.
So specifically, we're actually interested in both sleep and circadian rhythms. So circadian rhythms are the near 24-hour rhythms that we all experience because they primarily regulate the timing of our sleep and our wakefulness. So, for instance, we're interested in how different body hormones cycle within a 24-hour clock. And in this way, it regulates the time that we start going to sleep and that we wake up and how we relate to our environment. And also, it sends us signals about what time to be eating food and acting in certain ways, like, for instance, improving our performance during the daytime and our cognition and thinking, whereas it's really difficult to think in the middle of the night.
So the study that I read about involved natural light and artificial light. How did you decide to do this particular study? What were you trying to learn?
Yeah, it's a good question. So actually, in our field, it's been known for quite a long time that artificial light, electric light, has a profound influence on our biology, and we know this in many ways because it seems like we are sort of out of sync. The alerting effect, first of all, of electric light keeps us up late at night, but it has a direct effect on when we the timing of our circadian rhythm, which is that 24-hour rhythm, in terms of the timing of the when we start producing melatonin, which helps us to initiate sleep, For a long time, yeah, it's been known that, electric light has affected these rhythms, but we don't really know by how much. We've always just assumed that we know that it affects us, but nobody's really compared the same group of people in the natural setting, such as going out camping, versus their normal lives, their normal social and work schedules,
mm-hmm.
And how much, just quantifying how much electric light has changed our body rhythm.
Okay. So please describe the study for us. What did you test or track?
Yeah, so we recruited 8 healthy participants from Boulder, Colorado, and it's a pretty simple study. So we monitored them for a week while they carried out their normal work and home and social schedules, and then we took them into our laboratory for a day where we can assess the timing of their internal biological clock. And we did this by monitoring the timing of their hormone melatonin. And then we took the participants out camping in the Eagle's Nest Wilderness in Colorado for a week. And then after that week, we took them back to the laboratory for a follow-up assessment. And in this way, we were able to compare with this intervention of camping. What did that do to the timing of their melatonin rhythm, which indicates to us what time their body thinks it's nighttime versus daytime?
And what were the outcomes?
So some of the important outcomes were that Well, first of all, so we also, I forgot to mention, had them hooked up to, they were wearing these special monitors that look like wristwatches, and they measure their physical activity levels. There's also, there's a light sensor on it, so we were able to measure how much light they were exposed to, so the timing of this light, and also the intensity of this light. So first of all, yeah, during the week of camping versus their week, the initial week where they were at home carrying out their normal schedules, they were exposed to four times as much light while camping. And this is, you know, they're outside the entire time, so this is quite expected. But we also found that the timing that they were exposed to this bright light was altered in that they were receiving a lot more bright light in the early morning times. And then in the evening, especially after sunset, they were receiving a lot less light because there weren't artificial or electrical lights in the camp allowed. So the timing and the intensity of the light pattern changed. And then in terms of their circadian rhythms, we were able to, the camping moved the timing of their circadian rhythms 2 hours earlier on average among the eight participants.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I know, and we also were able to, you know, because we had tracked their sleep and their circadian rhythms prior, the people who were more of the evening types, these like owls, you know, who stay up really late at night, the participants who were more on an owl schedule actually had a larger change in their internal clock and even moved by 3 or 4 hours earlier. And then the people who were more of the morning larks, the early bird types, didn't have as much of a change in their rhythm.
Interesting.
And yeah, it definitely is. Because, you know, we were able to basically make these night owls more like the morning types and synchronize everybody's schedules together. Mm-hmm. And this affects, of course, the timing of their sleep.
Right.
And then also, remarkably, the timing that of their melatonin production by their body and their circadian, basically a marker of their circadian rhythm, became almost perfectly in sync with the timing of sunrise and sunset in the camping environment. So we were able to, get them right on track with their environment.
Mm-hmm. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Evan Chinoy. He is a grad student at the University of Colorado Boulder and does most of his work at the Sleep and Chronobiology Lab there. So this was a pretty small study. You mentioned eight people, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they were all healthy?
Yeah, they were all healthy, pretty active individuals, yeah.
Because I know that there are, you know, just anecdotally and from reading a little bit, that there are lots of different sleep disturbances or issues that people can have. Mm-hmm. Is there a plan to expand the study to different kinds of people?
Yeah, that would be something really interesting to do because, you know, we just took very healthy sleepers and people who had no complaints at all, and we were able to affect their sleep and their circadian rhythms in a way that we think is probably more conducive to a normal schedule. So what if we took, you know, somebody, you know, patients with insomnia, sleep apnea, or just people who are, you know, night owls that want to maybe become more in sync with their environment so they can, you know, get up for work in the morning and not feel really groggy. So currently we're unsure of our future plans in terms of like a follow-up study, but there's, you know, many that could be explored. Like, first of all, you're right, it was a small, relatively small sample size, but we did have a very consistent effect among all eight individuals. So we're pretty confident that this will be validated in other groups that we can measure. But, you know, for instance, we also only took people in the middle of the summer camping. So what would their, you know, different seasonal mm-hmm. effect if there's not as, you know, as much bright light in the environment and also the timing of that light. So in other seasons, also, if this was in Colorado in the mountains and not everybody can just escape to the mountains so easily, so people at other latitudes or regions of the country or the world, it'd be really interesting to see if there are differences among people.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And my other question, and this we could talk about this for a little while, is, you know, what do these findings suggest for how people who aren't camping but who are just going about their daily lives can, you know, manage getting up earlier and being more awake?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we think that this speaks pretty directly to that question because our findings suggest that if you particularly alter the timing of light right as you wake up, so in the early morning and then also after sunset or in the evening before bedtime, these are times that our biology is specifically very, very sensitive to external light. So if people, for instance, need to get up early in the morning, this like Monday morning blues effect that many people experience, if they, you know, in the morning, if they receive a lot more bright natural light, so going outside in the morning to drink your coffee or going for a morning walk, that could definitely help. And also, particularly in modern society, with the advent of iPads and iPhones and all sorts of other room electrical light and 24/7 conveniences, you know, now I can go to the supermarket any time of the night that I'd like to. I'm getting a burst of light at that time. That's definitely having an effect on the timing of my biology. And we think this has altered it in a way that could be unhealthy for many individuals. So getting in sync with a regular schedule could be very important, but especially moving the timing of our light exposure to an earlier time could get us more in sync with a normal, like, 9-to-5 work schedule.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That sounds, I guess I'd kind of heard that about iPads and phones and so forth, that they kind of do jazz your brain up, especially right before bed.
Yeah, absolutely. So not only are they just alerting to you, because if you're checking your email in bed, that's added stress anyways.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about, you know, what you have to do during the day. I mean, you know, people in our field particularly like to tell people, to suggest people who have sleep troubles to, you know, separate these stresses from their bedtime routine. And so not being, you know, on email or playing games while you're in bed, it's fine to do these if in dim light levels and maybe in your living room before you go to bed. But when you go to bed, it's good to separate all bright light.
Evan, thanks so much for talking about this with us. It's a very interesting topic. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Not really. I think we covered most of it, but we're really happy with the study. And we'd love to see follow-up studies and people to also take some suggestions about what they could do to their light exposure patterns and making it fit better with their work and social schedules.
Okay. And in any case, it's a great excuse to get out camping and try it.
And that too, yeah. I think we've received a lot of positive press about, you know, the benefits of camping. And us in Colorado, we don't find that a problem at all.
No, not us here either. Well, thank you again so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Ann.
Mm-hmm. That was Evan Chinoy of the University of Colorado Boulder Sleep and Chronobiology Lab.